Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.
Thank you for coming back to the Inside Lacrosse Podcast. Once again, this is a special one. We are joined by a pair of NBA players, professional basketball athletes who have a touch of lacrosse in their background, as well as a former high school classmate and teammate who is now into the entrepreneurial world, and we've got a lot to discuss in the world of Chill Shark. But to begin, introductions. Pat Spencer needs no introduction within the world of lacrosse. His brother Cam, now with the Memphis Hustle, as well as Keegan O'Connor, a former Boys Latin teammate who is the founder, right, Keegan, of Chill Shark. Very good. And we can get into all that and more, but first of all, I just want to say thank you guys for joining. Really excited for the opportunity to have the conversation.
Of course. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, appreciate you having us.
No doubt. Well, so I can't imagine that there are many people listening to this that are unfamiliar with where you guys are at in terms of your basketball careers, but let's just bring everybody up to speed in case there are. So, Pat, where in the world are you right now? Who are you playing with, and what does the basketball situation look like for you?
Yeah, right now I'm still with the Golden State Warriors on a two-way contract, and we're here in Denver. Actually, while we're shooting this, we're in Denver, play them tonight. So just been traveling a bunch. Finally got into that rotation and trying to stay in there.
Well, we can come back to you in a second, but Cam, how about you? We understand that you're coming off of a nice night last night.
Yeah, it was a good one. I'm just happy we got the win, but, you know, like Pat, on a two-way contract with the Grizzlies, Memphis Grizzlies, and going back and forth right now between the Grizzlies and the Memphis Hustle, our G League team. So I'm in Memphis right now, and the guys are up top playing Dallas tonight.
Awesome. Well, Pat, let's just dive a little bit deeper into what your basketball journey has been like, because obviously you put together a Wharton-winning career playing lacrosse at Loyola and then took advantage of the opportunity for an additional year of eligibility to go to Northwestern and get started on this journey. How did and what have these steps looked like over the last several years to get you to this point where now you've got some stability with the Warriors?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a grind. It's been a journey. And Cam's journey has been quite different as well, but you know, I love my time at Loyola. I love my time in lacrosse, but truthfully, I always knew basketball was going to be what I was going to pursue. So just had a lot of work to do. Obviously, lacrosse is very different than basketball in terms of physicality. You know, I have to cover some really quick athletic guards at this level. So I think I played a little bit heavier in lacrosse. So there were obviously some physical adjustments, and then obviously taking 4 years off of competitive ball, had a lot of things to catch up on. So been quite a journey from Germany to the G League to finally get an opportunity to crack a rotation up top.
What do you think has been the most important aspect of that evolution?
My jump shot. Yeah, I had some real mechanical flaws within my shooting form. Just, you know, I've always been a pretty solid athlete and felt like I could get away with that in high school. Relied on my IQ and athleticism, and still something I pride myself on at this level, but obviously, if you follow the NBA nowadays, you know you've got to be able to shoot the ball, especially at 6'3". So, had a lot of work to do. Spent some time with a shooting coach, and you know, I was in there 6 days a week, probably 4 to 5 hours a day, and just grinding away. So, obviously, a handful of other things that I needed to get better, but shooting was probably the main one for me.
Cam, I think that I'll invert this a little bit because, you know, your basketball journey, like Pat mentioned, is really unique. But I actually have memories of watching your boys Latin team play against Brunswick at Penn. I want to say it was in 2018, maybe it was 2019, somewhere in that range. When you think back to your lacrosse days, what comes to mind?
Yeah, you know, BL lacrosse, there's nothing like it. I think all of us can attest to that. You know, we had some great coaches that we played for, just a great brotherhood. The sport of lacrosse was really good to me. And, you know, I always said if I were trying to play pro lacrosse, I would definitely, you know, I would have gone back to it. But, you know, with basketball and trying to make it to the NBA, I couldn't make it work with how the seasons lined up. But, man, I love lacrosse and still enjoy keeping up with it, you know, every spring when it comes back on. So, yeah, I definitely miss it.
So from a basketball standpoint, you started out at Loyola, moved on to Rutgers, and then finished your career winning a national championship at UConn. How do you describe that journey?
It was awesome. You know, definitely a journey of its own. You know, starting off at Loyola, I was really appreciative of the opportunity that they gave me to, you know, to go play there. That was my only offer coming out of high school. Got to follow Pat there. You know, he had 4 great years on the lacrosse field there. So being close to home was great. And then just, you know, kept trying to move up the ladder and, you know, prove people wrong and show that I could play at the next level. So to end it at UConn with the championship was really special. And, you know, I love those guys to death there.
One of the things that stood out to anybody who watched your games when you're on a championship run was just, for lack of a better way of putting it, kind of how confrontational you were. And I know that that was something that Coach Hurley talked about in terms of your willingness to both hold your teammates, yourself, and to an extent your coach accountable. Where does that come from?
I think it's just how we were raised as a family. You know, we have really high standards for ourselves. And, you know, when you don't meet those, then you should let yourself hear about it or, you know, at least the other guys around you about it. That was the great thing about UConn. You're just surrounded by like-minded people. You know, Coach Hurley, Coach Luke, all those guys really held us to a standard every day in practice. So when the games came on, it was, you know, as Coach Hurley would say, kind of automatic for us to just go out there and leave it all out there on the floor.
So, Keegan, let's talk a little bit about what brings us together for this conversation. But first, you know, by way of introduction, a 2014 Under Armour All-American who went on to play at Maryland and High Point before getting into this venture. We'll talk about Chill Shark in a second and Pat and Cam's involvement. But how do you describe your relationship to lacrosse and your journey with the sport?
I absolutely love lacrosse, man. It was ever since I was a little kid, my dad was my coach, and it was everything basically. And so, you know, being able to play at a school like Boys Latin, win a national championship and then go, you know, on and play in college was unbelievable, you know. And then, since I moved down to Austin, I coached for about 4 years at Westlake and trying to find a way to give back, but it's always been a key part of my life. And, you know, unfortunately I got a bunch of concussions in college, so I couldn't really play anymore, but it is what it is. Great sport.
So tell us about Chill Shark.
Sure. So basically we create a product that turns any bathtub into a cold plunge. So it's really good for, you know, on the road if you're doing ice baths or if you just want a cold plunge and you live in an apartment. It really came about because I was trying to solve my own problem. And I remember I called Pat because I was like basically just like doing a little like research into, you know, sports, seeing if, you know, athletic trainers would be interested in this. And I called Pat and I was like, you know, we had talked about business before. I was like, hey, like, what do you think of this? Can you go ask your trainer what he thinks? And, you know, that was what kind of sparked the conversation. And then, you know, I didn't even think about them coming in and investing, but we started talking about it and he was super pumped and it kind of just, you know, it flowed from there. But yeah.
So as Keegan mentioned, Pat, Cam, you guys are investors in the business, which is getting started right now. But Pat, in terms of what you've seen over the course of, you know, your stops from all of the different points in your athletic journey, I guess first and foremost, what do you say about the merits of cold plunge? And then also, you know, what do you say about this the problem that this product is trying to solve?
Yeah, I think Cam can attest to it as much as anybody. So unfortunately, Cam and I have had some injuries along the way too. We talked about our journeys. Both Cam and I have had hip surgery, and Cam's been battling an ankle injury this year. So obviously as an athlete, you know, college or younger, you probably don't have to deal with as many injuries. As you get older, you start to obviously have some more injuries, unfortunately. And we're both big believers in the product itself, first and foremost. Obviously, I'll talk about Keegan here in a minute, but cold plunging, just I think there's a whole new wave, obviously, one on the athletic side, but two on the mental health side. So that's where Keegan can kind of talk about that point a bit. But we truthfully believe in the recovery of the body. Obviously, we push ourselves every day as athletes. And like Cam said, we hold ourselves to really high standards. So we're running ourselves into the ground constantly. And cold plunge, obviously, there's a lot of science behind it in terms of recovery. So from inflammation to mental health to all that stuff. So the product was a no-brainer for us to get involved with, obviously, as a user. But we just believed in the potential of it from a business side as well.
So, Cam, like, I have kind of – I don't want to call it a unique relationship to cold plunging, but because I think a lot of people have this, but I remember back to when we were doing 2 days in football in high school, and there would just be 30 trash cans lined up on the track next to our field, and in between practices, the trainers would just be dumping ice into it, and you know, some disgusting human would be in, he would get out, and then you would get in after him, you would get out, and then it would just go down the pecking order, and whatever freshman had been standing there, you know, in 108 degree heat was just waiting to get in. So that's one element of it, right, in terms of, you know, it's just sometimes you need to cool down. Other times, you know, to Pat's point, it's about kind of reducing inflammation, swelling, all of the elements that come from, you know, heavy exercise use, and then also certainly from the standpoint of like particular injury rehabilitation. So setting aside some of the mental health benefits and some of the other physiological benefits, but just with respect to kind of normal wear and tear and injuries, how have you found recovery from cold plunge to benefit you as an athlete?
Yeah, it's benefited me a ton. Honestly, it was one of those things when I first started where, like, I got in, I was like, dude, I don't think I can do this for 4 or 5 minutes every day. Like, it's just, you know, it takes some getting used to. But when you realize, like, how much your recovery changes from doing it, it was a no-brainer for me, especially as an athlete. You know, like Pat said, pushing our bodies every day. It really helped me recover faster from day to day. But I also know a lot of teammates that they'll use it before games, you know, before practices to get some dopamine kick. You know, if they don't have a lot of energy that day, they'll use it to wake themselves up. And I think anybody who's done a cold plunge will say, you know, there's nothing that'll wake you up like the cold water. So, you know, I think there are a lot of benefits from it. And it's a daily routine for me for sure.
Do you go head under?
Depends. If I have a bad day, I feel like you know, I need to do it, then I will. But I'm not neck down. I'm usually up to the chest. But there are some guys that go all the way under, which is pretty sick.
Keegan, Pat mentioned your ability to speak to some of the mental health benefits of it, and I know that this is, I don't want to call it like a secondary, but maybe in terms of sequence, it kind of has become the second element of this business and of this opportunity. Just shed some light on what Pat was referring to there.
Yeah. So the reason why I started this is ultimately a really personal reason, but, you know, I'd struggled with PTSD for, you know, the last 3-4 years. And I ended up actually going to like a PTSD treatment program. And I learned how you treat PTSD, which is essentially you throw like 18 different things at the patient to find the one or two things that sticks. And then they take those one or two things and they apply it to their life. Right. And so when I was building this process, I was trying to find a frictionless way to do this in my house and make it as convenient as possible to get the benefits for PTSD. And, you know, in reflection, they didn't have access to cold plunging in, you know, in that program. And the first people I went to were the United States military. And I met with an athletic trainer there and I was like, hey, like, what do you guys think about this product? And they gave me like 15 different use cases for athletics. And I was like, what about treating veterans with PTSD? And they're like, well, you know, we haven't even, what do you mean? Do you have research on that? I'm like, no, I just know it works from personal experience. And so they basically got to a point where they're like, you need research. So we went out and I called a few people who I knew from college who had, you know, PhDs and have done research. I was like, guys, you know, can you find me some research on this? They couldn't. So we actually got hooked up with an organization called the Gray Team out of Florida. And we're doing the, you know, first clinical studies on cold water immersion and its efficacy in treating PTSD. So effectively there is no research on market documenting this, but like, you know, in this clinic, which is probably one of the most remarkable things I've seen, is the future of healthcare. The Gray Team, it is, you know, they have a cold plunge there that we bought for them. And we're like kicking off the, clinical research next year. So yes, it does great things for athletics, but I think that the reason why there's a revolution around it, or there's so much interest, is because of the benefits it can have from, you know, helping with depression, focus, you know, even insulin sensitivity. There's a wide array of things that this can really make a huge difference. And there's a huge trend of people trying to move off of like, you know, modern pharmaceuticals and more, you know, holistic oriented ways to treat things. So
I want to add to that because I have recently restarted doing this. About a year ago, a buddy got me one for my birthday, and it's just like a vinyl like tub that I keep in, you know, my like back little area. And I do it way more in the winter when it's not as difficult to keep cold. But what I have found and some of the stuff that I've read is, you know, if you're somebody who struggles with feeling cold a lot, there's almost no better way to rectify that than through cold plunging, because A, it changes your kind of acclimatization and equilibrium. And then B, your body actually starts to build up some of the tools that help you stay warm. So just, it's very counterintuitive, but if you're somebody who's just like, man, I'm always cold, like consider cold plunging as a potential solution. But Pat, I want to come back to you because you said something that I think is really important when it comes to any conversation about the decision to invest in a business and a conversation about a startup, which is the leader. And, you know, you mentioned that you've got some things to say about a longtime friend of yours. And I'm curious, you know, why the person behind the product made it something that you wanted to put your dollars behind.
Yeah, I'm a believer, obviously, just in my own journey, that you got to follow your passion, right? So I think people would look at myself and probably call me a little bit crazy for switching from lacrosse. And, you know, I had kind of like everything laid out for me in the lacrosse world to go after and compete and make a career out of it. And I believe in following your passion, and basketball is my first love. And so on the business side, man, you can feel passion. One, obviously, you have to believe in the product, right? And I think that's something obviously we've spoken to today. Cam and I both believe in the product and where it can get to from a number of different use cases. But more importantly, we have to believe in the people that are running it. And so I think the passion that Keegan has for this project is the same passion that Cam and I have every day to go and attack basketball. And so unfortunately, in the business world, I don't have the time to be hands-on day-to-day every single day. And so I've got to believe in the people that are leading the business. And if I'm going to put my hard-earned dollars behind that, then I've got to believe in the process that they're going through as well. And so Keegan's been very great, obviously, about communicating with us. But Keegan just obviously has a unique passion for this product. And it came through on the initial phone calls that we had. And the more due diligence that we did, obviously, Cam and I as a team, we realized how great the team in place was and how much Keegan was really willing to get after it for us, for PTSD folks, and for everybody involved. And so Keegan's one of those guys that is going to follow his passion as well. And I think the more you talk to him, you'll feel that. And like I said, we've got a great team behind him as well.
Cam, I'm interested in, you know, you're earlier in your career, and, you know, this is an opportunity kind of out of the gate to diversify. With respect not just to the team and the product, but also just the opportunity, you know, to start to utilize this opportunity as a professional basketball player to set yourself up, you know, for life beyond basketball. Where did that fit into this equation?
Yeah, I got to give credit to Pat. You know, he's always looking out for me, you know, setting myself up long term and, you know, getting involved in some entrepreneurial stuff. You know, he's always been a Shark Tank guy. We kind of grew up watching that show and just, you know, getting involved in business. You know, we always knew that we wanted to, you know, do something together. And, you know, obviously when this product came about with Keegan, it was a no-brainer for us just in the trust that we had in Keegan and his passion for it and the product itself. But for me as a young guy coming out of college, you know, I'm all about investing and, you know, saving for the long term and just, you know, trying to put myself in a good position now so that I can also in the future. But, you know, credit to Pat for always looking out for me that way. And, you know, I think this has a lot of potential and, you know, we're really excited about it.
Keegan, how does it actually work? Does it pump water through a coolant and then puts it back in? How does the product work?
Yeah, so basically, in a very simple way, you know, it takes the water out of the tub, runs it through a chilling system, and then drops it at a cooler temperature, right? So it's simple. That's the simplest way to explain it.
And what does it look like? And how big is it? How heavy is it? How long does it take to use?
It's right there, but the it's about 45.
Hold on, let me jump in. For those that are listening on a podcast, I would say that looks a lot like what you would expect, like a dehumidifier
exactly.
Or a space heater to look like.
Yep, that was the goal, right? Like anything that we used, like any chiller that we bought was big, bulky, loud as can be. And like, if you put it in your house or your apartment, it looks terrible. And we're like, okay, look, if we're going to do this, this needs to be, it needs to be cool. It needs to look like it lives in the house. And so that was the whole like design intent behind it. And so, yeah, we've been working on this for about a year, and like the product looks exactly like we envisioned it from like an ID standpoint, you know, but it's, yeah, it's super sleek.
So you mentioned that you've been working on it for a year. What is the feature timeline in terms of when it's going to come to market, be available, and you know, what you expect timelines to be on folks who want to purchase it?
Yeah, so we are, for anybody who's not familiar with crowdfunding, it's basically a way for you to pre-sell your product, and then helps fund the inventory so you don't have to give up more equity to the company. So we're launching a Indiegogo campaign, which is the equivalent of Kickstarter, in March. And we'll be basically giving to 40% off, $2,400. So you just, you know, we basically have people reserve spots now. They give us, they just pay $1. And then when it comes around, if they sign up and they've reserved a spot, they'll be able to get a Chill Shark. We're expecting the absolute earliest to be around April. Latest, worst case, is August. So, you know, you when you are bringing a product to market, the most important thing is, you know, a phased rollout and ensuring that we, you know, we're working to have the best possible experience for our customers and ensure that there's, you know, as little bugs as possible. So, you know, it just is a little, we want to take our time and do it right, basically.
But I just settled on a name.
So I had a company called Garden Sharks, and my like, I don't know if you guys know this, but I had a company called Garden Sharks, and I guess one of my my co-founder Brandon Sloan, he was kind of messing around, and we went back and forth, and he's like, you know, we should just call it Chill Shark, and he was kind of making fun of me, but I was like, wait, that's actually a great name, you know. And like, the most difficult part about starting a company is naming it, like, hands down. Like, it's just something we were like, finally, you know, this is perfect. And then I was like, oh, cool name.
And the term chill is undergoing a revolution.
Yeah, chill guy.
Meme culture, right?
Yeah. Hilarious.
Is that a benefit or a detriment at this point?
I don't know. Depends who's looking at it, probably. I'm sure it's a benefit. We'll probably play into that eventually.
That's right. Got to figure out a way to lean into the chill guy. Well, fellas, I really do appreciate the time. This was an excellent conversation. Really appreciate you guys catching up. Congratulations on all the success from the stand, you know, from making it from lacrosse fields in North Baltimore to NBA arenas all over the country, and setting up a product that who knows? I don't know whether Shark Tank is desirable or in the future, but certainly a product that would warrant an opportunity to go in front of the sharks. And I'd be interested in how they would react to the name if that was an opportunity that they were given as well. But really appreciate your time on the Inside the Cross podcast. Best of luck as you keep rolling forward, and we look forward to watching you get the opportunity to suit up with the Warriors and both the Hustle and the Grizz.
Appreciate it, Jay. Yeah, thanks for your time, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Inside the Cross Podcasts, the source of the sport.